رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة أشهد أن قامت الصلاة أشهد أن قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Să fie doresc să-l mai lege prin scetând roz. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. الحمد لله. InshaAllah, with your dua kebat, there's a hadith work after the remaining salah. We'll have, after remaining dua, we'll have the hadith from Riyadu Salihin, which will be discussed, inshallah. Brother requested to participate. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahu Akbar. صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Inshallah, this week we'll move on to the next chapter of Riyadu Salihin, which Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has titled باب استحباب زيارة القبور للرجال وما يقوله الزائر. اس باب کے اندر امام نووی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ مردوں کے لیے اور نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جو ہمیں ترغیب دی ہے کہ ہم قبرستان کی زیارت کریں اور قبرستان جائے، اس سلسلے میں کچھ احادیث لائیں گے، اور جو زیارت کرنے والا ہو اس کو کیا کہنا چاہیے، کیا پڑھنا چاہیے. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is going to bring some etiquettes, some ahadith with encouragement about visiting the graves, visiting the graveyard, visiting those who have passed away from this dunya. And what should we say when we visit them? So this is the purpose of this chapter, and it's connected to the chapter before it. The chapter before it was about death, and it was about having short aspirations in this dunya, not having huge hopes. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. So it's connected to that, because this is our destination, everybody's destination. Eventually everybody one day is going to have to go into the dirt, into the soil, into the earth. تَحْتَ التُّرَابِ وَحْدَانَا. Underneath the ground, all by ourselves. Every single person is going to be in this situation. Nobody can escape this predicament. Some people may not be buried in a grave. Some people may die at sea, their body may be tossed overboard. Someone may die in some accident. Allah Ta'ala protect us from all form of accidents, all form of illnesses. But death will come, and everybody will have to go into the realm which is known as Barzakh. Barzakh is the next stage, the bridge between this dunya and the akhirah. Barzakh, everybody's going to have to go there. And some people's Barzakh will be a place of enjoyment, relaxation, comfort. And the Barzakh waiting period is very long, very, very long. All the people who have come into this dunya and have gone before us, they're all there now in Barzakh. It's a waiting room. Everyone complains about the A&E waiting rooms these days. You go there, 24 hours, 12 hours. We had a family member, Bichara, he had a ruptured appendix. His appendix was hurting. They took him into the waiting room. They made him wait 12 hours. In that time, the appendix ruptured. And this is how terrible NHS and the rest of it. But the reality is waiting room, Barzakh. Waiting room of the Akhirah, everybody's going to have to go there. For some people, Allah Ta'ala will make it a place of bliss, happiness, joy. All depends what life was all about to them. What was the purpose of this life, this time, this health, this wealth, everything Allah had given them? What did they make of all of this? It's like a package deal, Allah gives it to you. Some people, they go for that job, and they go for that degree, and they go for that, and they get to a point where they say, you know, I've achieved everything I've set out to achieve. Now the question is, what is success? You've achieved something, meaning you're successful. So what is success? Success is that which will get you into the barzakh with ease, happiness, and into the akhirah with ease and happiness. That's success. And someone who can be spared from the torment of the hereafter, the adab of the hereafter, can enter into Jannah forever and ever. This is success. But unfortunately, nowadays success is labeled many different things. So barzakh. The waiting room of the akhirah, everybody is going to have to go there. Some people, Allah Ta'ala will make it so easy for them. They go in their grave, and subhanallah, the grave expands as far as the eye can see. And imagine years and years and years, hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years. We're all going to go there. And door of Jannah will be open for them. And the fragrance from Jannah will come into their grave. And it will be said to them, Nam ka nawmatil arus. Sleep like a newly wedded person sleeps the first night when he's married to his wife. Nam ka nawmatil arus. Sleep like that. Have the best sleep of your life. And he'll say, Ya Allah, this is what I did everything in my life for this moment. Now I see with my own eyes everything. Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy. Everything I did in this world, all the hardship, walking to the masjid in the cold, in the rain, and waking up for Fajr Salah, and staying away from sins that were so tempting. So tempting. Controlling my gaze when it was felt like, you know, mission impossible. I can't, you know, I have to look there. But I said, no, it's haram for me to look there. It's haram for me to look there. If I look there, my Allah is going to be angry. I would rather die than look there. Right? This is how I did to myself. I would rather die than be in this situation. You know, a person was so strict on themselves to stay away from haram, to stay away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, stay away from the nafirmani of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and he says it was all worth it. In the best sleep of my life, Munkar and Nakir, they come into the graves and they ask the questions, you know, Mar Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk, Man Hadha Rajul Alladhi Bu'itha Feek. What was your religion? Who was your Lord? What was your religion? Who was this man that was sent to you? And he happily says, it's Rabbi Allah. My Rabb was Allah. My Rabb meaning my nurturer, my sustainer, my provider. The one who I had full hope, reliance, tawakkul, barosa on. The one who I turned to for everything was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I didn't believe that anybody else in this world could ever help me. It was always Allah. It's still Allah. The world can go. The world can be destroyed. Everything can, be destroyed around me. I know that Allah is the creator of all of it. Allah is the sustainer of all of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so many things I see. So many things Allah has kept hidden from me. There's a great saint in Syria. His name was Sheikh Badruddin Al-Hasani, rahmatullahi alayhi. Great muhaddith, great scholar of hadith. Very pious man, very elderly, pious man. And he lived at a time, he lived a very long life, probably near to his hundreds. And he lived at a time when there was calm in Syria, and then he lived through the war in Syria, and that time when there was, a lot of strife and change and, political strife. So one of the great scholars of India, Sheikh Ashiq Ilahi Mirati, rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, I went to Syria. And he says, I went to Syria, and obviously, Syria is such a beautiful country, and the religiosity and the pious people and the great scholars. He said, I did not meet a person like Sheikh Badruddin Al-Hasani. Such a great saint of Allah Ta'ala. And he said, he reminded me of a great saint in India whose name was Sheikh Rashid Ahmad Al-Gangohi rahimahullah. He said, they were identical. And he said, even more, and he said, I thought this was a spiritual, like Allah Ta'ala's spiritual system, that Badruddin Hassani rahmatullahi alayhi's face was almost identical to the face of Sheikh Rashid Ahmad Al-Gangohi rahimahullah. And he said, not just that, Sheikh Badruddin Al-Hassani rahmatullahi alayhi had a khadim, a student who would be with him always, very informal. Everybody else sits in his gathering, very, serious students of knowledge there to learn. But he had this one very close khadim, helper, attendant, who was extremely baytakalluf, informal with him, would whisper into his ear, and he would be very relaxed with him, and his name was Yahya. And he said, all the way in India, the Sheikh Rashid Ahmad Al-Gangohi rahimahullah, he had a close attendant, just like that, extremely informal, when everybody else would sit like this, like they got birds perched on top of their heads. His name was also Yahya. And he said, I thought to myself, subhanallah, Allah's spiritual system, Allah has his people, all the way over there in Syria and all the way over there in India, but they're like, they're symmetrical. They're like the same person. And he thought, look how Allah Ta'ala preserves his deen. The awliya of Allah, the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are on the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are following exactly the teachings and the legacy and the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they are in the world. So he says, I went and visited him in Syria when I went for my journey of Hajj, and then I went to Damascus because he had a bookshop, and he said, I went there for some publishing purposes. And he said, I sat in that gathering, and it reminded me of the gathering of Sheikh Rashid. Exactly identical. Whole day would be spent in lessons, and from, Sheikh would wake up, he'd sleep very little, 4 or 5 hours at night. He would wake up before tahajjud time, he'd perform tahajjud salah all the way till fajr time. After fajr, he'd go into his room, he'd sit in muraqabah and meditation and spiritual practices all the way till ishraq. After ishraq, he would come out, he'd have his classes. He said he was almost identical to Sheikh Rashid Ahmad in India. He said, I left, many years later I went back. Sheikh had aged even more, he was older. He said the whole political climate was different. He said Syria was a mess. I could not recognize the old Syria that I had left 20 or 30 years ago because of the political climate being totally like disastrous. He said the only one thing had not changed about Syria, which was Sheikh Badruddin Al-Hasani. Nothing had changed him. And if you start talking to him about politics, he would act like it's wahshad, like I don't talk to me about these things. I don't understand these things. Allah has created me for this purpose, of serving his people, and I am here doing what Allah Ta'ala has created me to do. I don't talk to him about things that are beyond me. Allah creates his people. Allah Ta'ala puts them to guide people. So we need to understand this huge world, universe, system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many changes have happened, so many changes will happen. Allah's nizam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system, Allah Ta'ala is the main superpower. All of these things are really nothing. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're nothing. People have their agenda, people have their plan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will happen. And we have to understand the signs of Qiyamah will also happen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the signs of Qiyamah will happen. So things around us which are out of our control should not make us hopeless, should not make us depressed, should not make us feel that, ya Allah, maybe Allah's help is not with us. It's very important now more than ever to learn about the signs of Qiyamah and understand that these things are happening in front of us. This should mean more than ever now I need to cling more firmly to my deen and to my religious practices and to my spiritual practices, and not to give up hope. Oh, maybe this shows weakness of Islam. No, it's no weakness of Islam. This is the prediction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, remember all of this will happen, what I'm telling you will happen. This will happen and this will happen and this will happen and this will happen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned all of the details of everything that will happen till the day of judgment. Terrible, terrible times will come. The Sahaba couldn't believe, Ya Rasulullah, these times will come? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, these times will come. So the successful person in those times is someone who holds firm to his deen, stays away from all of this. Someone who falls into all of this, any form of fitna, because fitna is going to have so many different shapes and so many different appearances. And so easily a person can fall into any of these trials and tribulations of their iman and of their deen. A person who stays away from all of these, focuses on their Allah, Allah, worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protects their family, protects their friends, protects the people of their house, this person is going to be successful. Everybody has to. We have to have inside of us such ruhaniyat, such spiritual energy, such ta'alluq ma'allah, such connection with Allah, that I can help my family, I can help my friends, I can help my neighbors, I can help the people around me. Beyond that, Allah ta'ala has not made me responsible for changing the whole globe. Allah ta'ala's nizam, what's going to happen in the globe, Allah ta'ala knows. I have to have, if I don't even have the spiritual energy to help myself, my spouse, my children, my parents, my friends, then there's weakness in me. I'm going out on a political campaign, but my spiritual system is so weak, I can't even help the people in my own house. I can't even connect them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't even advise them when they are going astray. And then extended people, nobody can rely on me for any form of khair. So what change am I going to make in the dunya? The first change I need to make is in myself. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought this bab actually about ziyaratul qubur, visiting the graveyard and visiting the graves. So the first narration he brings, عن بريدة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كنت نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور فزورها وفي رواية فمن أراد أن يزور القبور فليزر فإنها تذكر بالآخرة. سيدنا بريدة رضي الله تعالى عنه فرماتے ہیں کہ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ میں تم لوگوں کو پہلے قبرستان اور قبروں کی زیارت سے منع کرتا تھا لیکن ابھی تم قبروں کی زیارت کیا کرو جی ابھی قبرستان میں جایا کرو قبروں کی زیارت کیا کرو اور ایک روایت میں ہے فمن اراد ان یزور القبور جو شخص چاہتا ہے کہ قبروں کی زیارت کرے تو اس کو ضرور کرنی چاہیے چونکہ یہ اس شخص کو آخرت کی یاد دلائے گی. سیدنا بریدہ رضی اللہ عنہ narrates رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has stated that I used to prevent you from visiting the graves. I used to prevent you from visiting the graves. However, fazuruha. Now you must go and you must visit the graves. And you must go and visit the graveyards and the people that have left this dunya. You must go and visit them. And in one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, whoever wishes to visit the graves, falyazur, he should visit. فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُهُ بِالْآخِرَةِ Because it will surely remind him of the hereafter. Visiting the graveyard, visiting the graves, going to the qabristan, this will remind a person of the hereafter. So why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially prevent the Sahaba from visiting the graves? Some scholars have mentioned, oh, it's talking about the women folk. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to prevent the women folk. Most scholars say it's not about the women folk, this is general. That there was a time in the early days of Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would prevent the Sahaba from visiting the graves because people had a habit of carrying out wrong practices near the graves. And because they were early stages of Islam and they didn't know the etiquettes of how to behave in the qabristan, in the graveyard, in their dealings with their deceased relatives, so in the beginning it was a period of training. So that's why ta'aleem, sometimes for ta'aleem you have to close the doors of other things. See? You need to train them. You say, oh, so do what you're doing and we'll train you eventually. The problem then is the person is committing so many wrong actions, maybe even actions that can take them out of the fold of Islam. Shirk and kufr. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, for now, just hold on. There's a hikmat in that. Hold on until your mizaj and your mentality become such that you know exactly what to do in the graveyard, exactly how to worship Allah and please Allah and how to deal with those deceased relatives in a manner that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. So now you must go, because now you know. Now you know the etiquettes of the graveyard. Now you know the etiquettes of visiting the people who are buried in their graves. You must go. Why? Because this will remind you of the hereafter. This will remind you of the akhirah, visiting the graves. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلما كان ليلتها من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخرج من آخر الليل إلى البقيع فيقول السلام عليكم دار قوم مؤمنين وأتاكم ما توعدون غدا مؤجلون وإنا إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون اللهم اغفر لأهل بقيع الغرقد رواه مسلم. سیدہ عائشہ صدیقہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ روایت کرتی ہیں کہ رسول اللہ فرماتی ہیں کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جب بھی نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی باری ہوتی تھی میرے پاس رات کو تو رات کے بالکل آخری حصے میں رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جنت البقیع کی طرف نکل جاتے تھے. مدینہ کے قبرستان کا نام کیا ہے؟ جنت البقیع، بقیع الغرقد. اس طرف نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نکل جاتے تھے اور وہاں جا کے فرماتے تھے السلام علیکم دار قوم مؤمنین، اللہ تعالیٰ کی سلامتی تم پر ہو اے مسلمان لوگ. وَأَتَاكُمْ مَا تُوعَدُونَ، جو تمہیں وعدہ کیا گیا تھا وہ تمہارے پاس آ گیا، تمہارے ساتھ آ ملا. مطلب موت کا، جس کا وعدہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے قرآن مجید میں کیا تھا وہ تم لوگوں کو آ پہنچا ہے. غدن مؤجلون، کل بہت جلدی، مطلب بہت جلدی آ جائے گا، موت بھی آ جائے گا اور آخرت بھی آ جائے گی. وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لَاحِقُونَ، اور ہم بھی جب اللہ تعالیٰ کی اگر اللہ تعالیٰ کی مرضی ہو تو ہم بھی تمہارے ساتھ آ کے مل جائیں گے. اللہم اغفر لأہل بقیع الغرقد، یا اللہ بقیع الغرقد کے رہنے والوں کو، اس میں جو لوگ سو رہے ہیں، سب کی مغفرت فرما دو. تو یہ نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی دعا ہے جنت البقیع میں سونے والوں کے لیے، جنت البقیع کے اندر جو لوگ آرام فرما رہے ہیں ان کے لیے نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی دعا ہے، دعائیں مغفرت ہیں. اس لیے تو ہمارے بزرگان دین چاہتے تھے کہ جنت البقیع میں ان کی تدفین ہو، اور سبحان اللہ یہ صحابہ کرام کے وقت سے یہ بات چلی آ رہی ہے. سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کی دعا ہوتی تھی اللہم ارزقنی شہادۃ فی سبیلک ووفاۃ فی بلد حبیبک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، یا اللہ مجھے آپ کے راستے میں کی شہادت نصیب فرما، شہادت کی موت نصیب فرما، اور مدینہ منورہ کی وفات مجھے نصیب فرما. یہ تھا کہ میری موت بھی مدینہ منورہ میں ہو، اور سوچ رہے تھے سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ ہو سکتا ہے جنت البقیع میں، اللہ تعالیٰ نے ان کو ان سے زیادہ اونچا مقام عطا فرمایا کہ بالکل نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے بازو میں ان کا قبر ہے. اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے غریق رحمت فرمائے اور تمام صحابہ کرام رضوان اللہ علیہم اجمعین کی مغفرت فرمائے. تو سیدنا بریدہ رضی اللہ عنہ، سیدتنا ام المؤمنین عائشہ صدیقہ رضی اللہ عنہ narrates the رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم when it was سیدہ عائشہ رضی اللہ عنہ's turn, the نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم would spend the night by her, then at the last portion of the night نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم would leave and he would go to جنت البقیع. But جنت البقیع, you know, the graveyard of مدینہ المنورہ, it's called بقیع الغرقد because there was a tree there, it was called غرقد tree. And when نبی اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم initially came to this baqi and then he saw gharqad tree, so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that the gharqad tree be chopped down. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like this tree, it's a very evil tree. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that the tree be chopped down, but it's still called baqi al-gharqad, and now we just call it jannatul baqi, the garden of baqi. Why do we call it the garden of baqi? Because subhanallah, all of the sahaba, I think Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that about 10,000 of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, this is before the time of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, there are about 10,000 sahaba and tabi'un and pious saints of Allah ta'ala buried there. Subhanallah, you go there and there are, you know, charts and maps that you can use to know exactly which sahabi was buried where. All the sahaba are there. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu is there, Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anhu is there, many of the great saints of Allah ta'ala all buried there. Subhanallah, amazing graveyard. And whenever you go to Madinatul Munawwara, we should definitely take our time to go and do ziyarah there. You can walk through the graveyard all the way around it, and we should constantly make dua of maghfirat for those who are buried there, and make dua that Allah ta'ala make us from them. This is not impossible for Allah ta'ala, that a person joins these people on the day of Qiyamah, subhanallah, standing up with Sayyidina Dhul-Nurayn, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'ab, and all these great sahaba, and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, and all these great muhaddithun and scholars who were buried there. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi would go there, and he would say, Assalamu alaikum dara qawmi mu'mineen. He would greet them with this greeting. Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, dara qawmi mu'mineen. Abode of righteous believers. وَأَتَاكُمْ مَا تُوعَدُونَ. That which was promised you has surely come to you. Death which was promised you has come to you. غَدًا مُؤَجَّلُونَ. غَدًا, tomorrow, مُؤَجَّلُونَ will be your fixed time. Tomorrow will be your fixed time, either your fixed time to go to Jannah, your fixed time to receive your reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لَاحِقُونَ. And we, if Allah ta'ala wills, will soon join you. So the scholars say, either Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired to be buried in Jannatul Baqiyah. So his desire to be with these people, we want to join you. Because why is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, inshaAllah? Because death is certain. Death is certain. So why is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, inshaAllah? Scholars have discussed this. They say, either following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, that وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never say that you will do something tomorrow without saying, inshaAllah. Even if it's certain. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though mawt is certain, still as adaban, to practice upon the command of Allah ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still saying inshaAllah, although there is no uncertainty in death. Another reason why scholars say why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said inshaAllah is because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hoping that maybe he'd be buried there. At that time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not certain about the location where he would be buried. He said, inshaAllah, I hope to be buried with yourselves. But Allah ta'ala's hukum was different. Allah ta'ala's hukum was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried where he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma ghafir li ahli baqi' al-gharqad. O Allah ta'ala, forgive the inhabitants of baqi' al-gharqad. All those who are buried there, O Allah, forgive them. So from here, many adab we understand. First of all, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even when spending time with his beloved spouses, still the last portion of the night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up. At the last portion of the night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spend that time in ibadah. And we also understand that this is a mustahab time and a very good time to go for qabr ziyarat. When we go, the qabr is probably going to be locked. But this is a good time to go for qabr ziyarat and to go for visitation of the graves. Why? Scholars mention that there are two reasons for visiting the graves. One is tafakkur and, you know, muraqabah of akhirah, and remind yourself of akhirah. And this is one of the best times because the mind is clear, everybody is sleeping. This is the best time for contemplation and fikr. There's no hustle and bustle. The night time, quiet, silence is the best time for reminding yourself of akhirah, pondering over what is important, number one. And number two, because the second main reason why we go to the Qabristan is to make dua of forgiveness. Our beloved people who have passed away from this dunya, to make dua of forgiveness for them. And what better time to make dua of forgiveness than the last portion of the night? So this is why, and we mentioned many different reasons why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would choose this particular time to go to the Qabristan, and he knows that his du'as at this time are so special, already so special, but this time even more powerful, and he would make these du'as for those inhabitants of Jannatul Baqi. And many times we have many of the narrations that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make du'a for the entire ummah in Jannatul Baqi in a state of sajda. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go there, be amongst those who have left this dunya. And he would remind himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and teach us that we should remind ourselves in this way. Go to the Qabristan, remind ourselves that one day we will soon leave this dunya. The people who are in this grave, one day we will be there. Like one of the, I think, Shaykh Allama Zahid Al-Kawthari, rahmatullahi alayhi, he instructed on his graveyard it be written, on his gravestone it be written, Ya waqifu inda qabri, la tata'ajjab min amri, bil amsi kuntu mithlak, وَغَدًا تَكُونُ مِثْلِي. Oh, the one who is standing near my grave, don't be really amazed. Now look at this person, he's died. Don't think this is so astonishing. Yesterday I was just like you. Yesterday I was just like you, looking at somebody else's grave, going to somebody else's qabristan, going to somebody else's, sorry, janazah. وَغَدًا تَكُونُ مِثْلِي. Tomorrow you will be just like me under the soil, and somebody's going to be standing near your grave. So it's very, very important that we do this. Visit the graveyard, remind ourselves of death. Death is very, very important. Death destroys all pleasures. Death makes us, you know, put everything into context. Tadabbur, tafakkur, contemplation, concern. Allah Ta'ala has not created us to be mindless and blind and confused. Allah Ta'ala has given us aqal, intelligence. We are called ulul albab, those of intelligence. And this aqal helps us put things into perspective. Everything can happen around us, but what's the reality of the situation? Akhirat, death, meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the halat around us, I know the politics and everybody knows what's happening now. We shouldn't lose ourselves in this. See? Make lots of dua, connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When something is out of my hands, there is all I'm going to do by doing too much stress and tension about that is going to damage my own calmness, damage my own ta'alluq ma'Allah, Remember, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dua with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salah and dhikr and tilawa is all to do with calmness. A person who's extremely tense and concerned and stressed and worried, they can't focus even on these things. Okay? They're making dua because I'm stressed. Ibadah is to do with calmness. And then when you go for umrah and subhanAllah, you do tawaf of the Kaaba, this is a very good way to understand. Everybody's just calmly. Everybody's just moving in a circle. Every other ibadah, sometimes in tilawa, is raising our voice, lowering our voice. Salah, sometimes like this, sometimes like that. When this tawaf, you see everybody is just equal. You know, just doing what Allah Ta'ala created us for, which is His service. And there is no difference, nobody's looking at him or her or them. Everybody's just busy in this rotation. And this is how all our ibadah should be. Just calm, like clockwork. This is what I was created for. This is what I was meant to be doing. So all these things are just distractions. They just come in the way. There's a kitab by Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. I'm reading through. I hope one day inshallah I'm going to do some durus on that. I think it's very beneficial. It's called Minhajul Abidin. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, you know who Abid is? Someone who gets close to Allah, someone who worships Allah Ta'ala. True Abid, true worshipper of Allah, he has to go through very difficult paths before he can become a true Abid. He calls them Aqabat. Aqaba is a narrow road in the mountains, very hard to get through. So he says about 8 or 9 very narrow, difficult roads an Abid will have to get through to actually become a proper Abid, a proper servant of Allah Ta'ala. And he says, this is a new tartib Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired me with. And Allah ta'ala gave me the understanding that these are the 8 critical or 9 critical paths every person has to have the intelligence to get through. And he says, this is why I wrote this way. It's like a guidebook, like a pathway to becoming a true Abid. So beautiful. And the first aqaba, he says, is aqabatul ilm. The first most difficult path is the path of ilm. And he talks about it. And he says, wahadihi aqabatun ka'ud. This is one of the most difficult paths. In ilm, so many people lose their way. Just in knowledge, the right knowledge. Wrong knowledge is gained, misunderstanding of knowledge is gained. Okay? And this is where many people slip up. And then he mentions, so I think inshallah sometime we'll discuss those, maybe over the summer holidays. I think maybe we'll have some sessions of that to mention all these aqabat and these difficult paths and how we can overcome them and getting close to Allah Ta'ala and focus on what's important. Allah Ta'ala give myself all of his tawfiq inshallah.
تشکیل گاتے بھی پاشا مفتی صاحب نے مذہب سے دنیا قبر اور حشر بتایا اس کے لیے محنت کی ضرورت ہے اپنے نام لکھائے جہاں گیسٹ